Hello, Jordan.
What's up, Michael?
You're sleepy today.
Bro. Sleepy J. Sleepy J. Orden.
Sleepy Jordan. Why are you...
Sleepy,
do you want to tell
Jordan.
Everyone?
Jordan.
Do you want to tell everyone why you're sleepy?
Just a crazy week, man. We went on Mind Pump podcast on Tuesday. So on your birthday, on your birthday, 37 years young,
bro.
Went out to Mind Pump.
Can I tell you that I don't know what my expectations were, but those guys are awesome.
Yeah, they're the best.
Like,
they're even like cooler in person.
Super, they're cooler in person, which is not the norm for, like, you get very excited when you see someone who you only know online and then they're the same thing in person. It's like, oh, that's awesome. I'm glad they weren't a dick in real life and like have this fake online thing. But they were somehow better in person. Like very kind, very generous, very cool. All four of them. Like the whole team too. It was,
yeah,
everybody. It was awesome.
Everybody was great. And it's crazy because like they're cool online and they're even cooler in person. Just really nice, genuine dudes. Everyone was great. So
yeah. That was really fun.
If you don't listen to Mind Pump, definitely listen to Mind Pump. I mean, you probably know who they are because they are literally the biggest fitness podcast in the world. But literally, that's not hyperbole. But yeah.
That was, I had forgotten, and you reminded me when we were out there that when we started our podcast, I was like, we can't just talk about fitness and business every single week. Like, it needs to be, I don't know what my exact words were, more fun, more just off the cuff, more. And they're, you know, using the first half of the episode to talk about whatever they're interested in, which is what those guys do, was the model for our podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, you know how they do that? Like, that's what I want to do. And yeah, they're just awesome. So it's very, also very cool, full circle to go on as guests and get to hang with those guys. And if you listen to the episode we did with them, you'll see like they were unbelievably generous and like just focused on us, like really good hosts. Just, yeah. And I think they're just really focused on giving back to the industry, trying to elevate the industry. Really nice, selfless, great, smart dudes. So it was fun. So I'm exhausted because of that. Went there. And then the next day I flew to LA and I was on another podcast in LA. And then I took a red eye back last night. So then we just had a mentorship Q&A right before this. So yeah, bro, I'm sleepy Jordan.
Those were great questions. You're really leaning into that joke. I'm not going to give you any more bait on. You just thought of that on the spot too. I saw that.
I know.
You were pretty proud of yourself for that one.
Well, you just kept calling me sleepy over and over and over again. I had a lot of time to think about it.
You kept saying you said I'm tired. You kept saying I'm tired.
I would never say I'm sleepy. I said I'm tired. And you're like, you're pretty sleepy. And I was like, don't call me sleepy.
I thought those were synonyms. I'm fine with calling you tired if you prefer to be called tired. Jordan's very particular about what people call me. Tired. I apologize.
Bro, it's so funny this morning where my daughter is like more connections are being made like seemingly like every hour. Like she's saying new things and she is understanding new things. So this morning she was eating carrots. And I said, I was like, carrots are good for your eyes. And so she took the carrots and she like put them on her eyes.
Wow.
Like she's like eating them. But it was funny. It was just like a very literal thing that it never would have popped up in my head to think like, oh, I say they're good for your eyes. So she thinks, oh, if I put them on my eye, it'll help my eye. Like she was eating them. I was like, yeah, carrots are good for your eyes. Then she puts them on her eye. I lost it. I was like, that was adorable.
Very literal and
yeah.
Shows you that she might be understanding more than you even knew she was understanding.
Yeah, she absolutely is for sure.
That's cool.
What's up with you, bro? How are you doing? You've been home a couple of days. You celebrate 37?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, we're doing a family. Well, I don't know. Do men over a certain age celebrate
I don't know. Yeah. You're going out to dinner this week?
We'll go to my parents' house tomorrow and my grandparents are in town. And do a little dinner over there.
Yeah. Nice. That'll be good.
Yeah, man.
You have a, is your mom making like a favorite dessert or something?
Yeah, she, whoever's birthday gets to pick the meal. So
what's the meal?
We're doing steak from our cow that we went
in
on. Oh
yeah, you guys got a cow.
Mm-hmm. Steak and twice baked potatoes with an ice cream cake is my, oof, my pick.
Is it ice cream, like ice cream cake with Oreos on it?
Like probably like a Dairy Queen ice cream cake.
Are there Oreos on it?
I think there's a thin layer of Oreos.
Yeah, that's the best kind of ice cream cake.
Yeah.
Like vanilla base with some chocolate in there?
Vanilla, chocolate, Oreos, little caramel.
Nice, dude.
Jordan, I cracked the code.
Tell me more.
I was telling you before the mentorship Q&A, but I literally cracked the code.
Okay.
We need to get flip phones, and we need to spend minimum 4 hours a day outside, ideally 6 hours a day in the outdoors.
Dude. I'm in. Let's do it. Should we podcast outdoors from now on?
I would love that. I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just sounds of nature in the background.
I don't know how that would work. I don't know if David would be thrilled. Definitely all on against the tech side. Like,
yeah, that's against like all audio podcasting. Yeah. Yeah. You yeah, get yes, in a quiet room, no air conditioning. That's like the worst part with like when I go to these like intense places, like it's freaking hot inside because they don't want the sound, the background noise. So we should just do the opposite. Just go outside, hear the wind and the birds and the animals. Like, yeah, I think that'd be good.
It would be cool for an episode. I'm okay with, because we podcast for 1 hour a week, so it's a very small percentage of the week. But for the time that I'm not working, spending way more time outside makes sense. And just avoiding consuming short form algorithms at all costs.
What do you want to do outside? Just like lie in the grass, walk, exercise? Just
it doesn't matter. Probably not lie in the grass, but I haven't thought this far ahead. I just know that being under fluorescent lights indoors and air conditioning and comfortable temperatures is suboptimal for my and probably all humans' existence.
I feel like the more I'm disliking the social media algorithm and the more I'm disliking it and hating it, the more addicted I'm getting to it at the same time. It's a really bad combination right now.
Dude, same. My screen time is way up, which is why I'm pushing us towards this.
And I hate it. Like I open it and I'm like, oh, stop, don't do this. But I just keep scrolling and I'm like, it's just terrible.
Yeah. Cross-platform, for me at least. Twitter being the worst right now.
Oh yeah. Me is just Instagram. Yeah, it's bad. Twitter's terrible.
Yeah. It all is. Unless you're seeking something out, like these algorithms are not built with our best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm.
They're built to keep us on the platform, regardless correct, of what that means for learning or neurotransmitters or how it affects our use of free time or our ability to build habits. Like, I don't even need the science or whatever to tell me that this, and because it's coming out, that researcher, Professor Jonathan Haidt, talks about this a lot with kids and smartphones and the negative effects that social media is directly having on children. I don't even need the science to know intuitively in my gut, at least N equals one, how bad consuming social media is for me. And yeah. I know that I have continued to say this. I think for everybody, but I know for a fact for me.
Yeah.
And I continue to say this, and then I continue to go back to my phone. So I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm out of my mind. I'm not really sure, but I'm trying to create where there's smoke, there's fire of like, all right, get this thing away from me.
No, it's a behavioral addiction.
Yeah, correct.
100%. So it's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be doing it. Oh, I'm doing it. Oh, I'm doing it. It's just so easy because it's always there.
Mm-hmm. That's why I want to get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can do a lot on my computer. I was going to say I can check DMs. Like checking DMs is something that I do on
Mike's always in the DMs. Mike's yes, always checking his DMs. Inbox but, zero.
But you, if you want to jump on social, you can go to YouTube. You can go to X. You can go to any of these places. All of my work I do on my computer, not on my phone.
Mm.
Like you maybe can't because of the level that you're creating at, and creating versus yeah, consuming are different, and engaging with your audience versus just consuming are different mm-hmm, things. So obviously it's an incredibly beneficial tool for building a business, but
mm-hmm,
for maintaining, for main gaining, I don't think it's the play. And even you can build a business without being like website focused, email list focused, podcast focused, can do it without being on social all the time. Or you can just be an absolute unit and somehow create and engage with your audience, but then get out of there and not consume at all. I don't know anyone who does that, but I would imagine that it's in the realm of human possibility.
Yeah, I don't know anyone. Does Gary? I feel like Gary's good about that. I feel like
Gary is good about that.
Yeah, and he just doesn't consume at all. He just like get on there, post, he'll engage, and then he's off because he's got so much other shit to do.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example. Yes, he does. And if he ever does consume, it's intentional around like market research for what's happening
right
in the algorithms for someone consuming content.
Yeah. Gary's not like getting stuck in the algorithm and then like
swiping for 3 hours.
Yeah, like today I was looking at this account. You ever see the account Kids Getting Hurt?
Nope, that's not.
It's
not up my alley.
It's like all these videos of like kids like getting caught on the Ring camera, like falling or doing something stupid. And like, man, I just spent like 15 minutes just watching videos of kids getting hurt, and they're all like fine. It's not like real life, major life changing injuries, but it's just funny.
Man, you're terrible and horribly unproductive. 15 minutes you spent on there? Like, that's 15
minutes.
Awful.
You have to put it in context. 15 minutes of just straight watching kids getting hurt. That's a lot of kids getting hurt in 15 minutes.
That's true.
And it's just a lot. It was like, oh, okay. I've seen enough now. Saw one kid get the wind knocked out of him. I was like, all right, that's enough.
That's not fun.
And the worst part is the comments. There's one guy who was like, looked like the kid was just trying to get attention. And I was like, have you never had the wind knocked out of you? Like, it takes a second before you have to do a factory reset. And you get the wind knocked out of you. Like, you look around for a moment, and then all of a sudden you're like, like, it takes a second before you your body catches up. And
Did you reply to the guy?
No. I was just like, I didn't want to get into debate on that.
That would actually be a better use. That would be like $1.80 strategy of... But maybe not the most optimal. Instead of going to fitness posts and commenting, Jordan's arguing about this kid getting the wind knocked off. Can you imagine?
You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
No, I've been really good with that recently. I haven't been getting into debates. Like, I have been $80ing a lot in terms of whether it's political posts or even like Gary's posts. I've been on Gary's posts, just putting in my thoughts and opinions on like current events and topics. And it's been actually great. And when people disagree with me, I don't go back and forth with them. I just like leave my thought and then peace out. It's been nice doing that.
Fun.
That sounds like something that you would not be fun for you.
No, but I know it's fun for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's way better than just consuming.
Yeah, but consuming, I've also been doing that. And you've been in your DMs.
I went in my DMs briefly last week.
You zeroed it out.
No, I didn't zero it out.
Oh.
I scrolled all the way down and I saw that the last time I replied to any DMs was 85 weeks ago. And then there's too much. I poked around a little bit, but no, I didn't. Got I have it. A very all or nothing mindset around that too. It's like, okay, if I'm going to be in here, then I need to goose egg and... It's not. Wasn't happening.
Goose egg means zeroed out for anyone who doesn't know what that means.
Oh, they know.
Okay. Well, now
goose
they
egg, know. Zero. Zero. Jordan and I used to goose egg our inboxes.
Yeah. Pull all nighters.
I still do. Yeah. Those were the good old days.
That's how we brought in 2017. Remember, we were in a hotel in Florida and we were just like, we're bringing in the new year. Answering emails.
Yeah, working. Yeah. With a real badge of honor about it too. Like our competitors are out drinking. They're watching the ball drop. We really had that Michael Jordan anger mentality around it works.
We kept talking about it too. We were like, no one else is doing this. No one's working right now.
Yes,
like
yes,
in between emails. Bro, this is so sick. Now we're just both sitting in like, we both have a queen bed to ourselves. Bro, no one is doing this right now. Yes. We're grinding.
Yes, that's exactly right. Oh. And guess what? I wouldn't change it for the world. Like,
yeah.
I have very fond memories, but Not anymore.
Yeah, just it's hyping each other up. No one's doing this, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I have noticed a trend in clients who want to lose body fat, but have a real desire for whatever reason to play, whether it's like they're really into a sport that they like to play or like to do. Like, I'm not thinking of the kind of person who wants to do extra cardio because they think that it's going to help them lose fat and then they end up eating more as a result. Like, it's not that. It's much more athletics related. But then they're being them not seeing the fat loss progress they want to see. And whether it's like a psychological, well, I did all this activity playing the sport, so I feel like I could eat more, but they're not, they're eating more calories than the extra calorie expenditure from the sport. Or in some cases, if they're really, you know, if football, basketball, like there are some sports that can take so much out of you that then you're prioritizing that over your strength training sessions. And so you might be missing more workouts in favor of playing the sport, or you're still going to the gym to work out, but you're just kind of going through the motions because you're beat up from playing the sport. Obviously, this isn't me saying, oh, you can't do the thing that you love, but there definitely is a level of sacrifice in terms of speed of progress and amount of progress around body comp and fat loss specifically in these instances. And I would say this even applies to like the F45 classes and like the high intensity workout style classes as well, which is an interesting trend.
Why would I disagree? I couldn't agree with that more. I think it makes sense. And I think it's also a good thing, especially like if you're doing, whether it's F45 or basketball or playing a sport for a lot of hours, like it makes sense, even from just a biological, physiological perspective. Like if you're exerting a lot of energy, you're going to end up eating a lot. And I think if you're getting super, super, super lean, anyone who's been really, really, really lean knows that your energy is going to be down and you're not going to be able to, if you're really into that sport, basketball or F45 or whatever, you don't want to be tired. Like you're not going to perform as well. So like it makes total sense that like even subconsciously they're going to be eating more in order to fuel their sport, because getting too low of a body fat is not going to benefit them in that activity. And there might be this like I think especially for the people who are doing the F45 stuff or an exercise class that they really enjoy, they might get frustrated because, well, I'm working so hard, why aren't I losing fat? Not realizing that they're eating extra that's actually fueling their performance in the class, but they're not making the fat loss progress they want. Whereas the person who's playing basketball or soccer recreationally or whatever it is, they might be a little bit less focused on the fat loss just because they're having so much fun playing their sport and like they're playing super well and like the extra carbs or whatever they're eating are fueling that extra energy. So, I'm more concerned with why you think I would disagree with something that's just so blatantly obvious.
No.
Like, why would I disagree?
I didn't think you would disagree with the physiological concept. I thought you might disagree with the prioritization of fat loss as a primary goal above having fun in those activities.
But yeah, I mean, I think it just depends on the person. Like, if their priority is fat loss, then they're probably going to have to deal with a little bit of not as high level performance. And if their priority is fun, then you're probably not going to have the best fat loss results. And that just makes sense.
Yeah.
Again, like, why the fuck would I disagree with that?
Jordan's sleepy.
I'm sleepy and angry.
All right, let's fire up a little Q&A action.
All right, here's a one that you might like. Let's see. Do you have any tips to pick up heavy dumbbells, 50 pounds plus, for flat incline bench press?
Yeah, I sure do.
Do it all the time.
I would imagine this means how to get them in position on the lift.
Yeah.
So this is awkward at first when you're first figuring it out. With practice, it becomes much easier. The way to do this is to grab the dumbbells from the rack, walk over, sit down at your bench with the dumbbells in your hands, one dumbbell in each hand. And
here, do this so people can like watch on YouTube.
Video
so,
pods.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're not watching on YouTube, go watch on YouTube so you can really show them how to do it.
Okay.
Do you have your Bowflex? Do you have your adjustable DBs?
I'm not.
Want to go get them?
Here, here's my imaginary dumbbells right here. Right. So they're resting on your thighs. And
here, turn the microphone towards you a little bit or no?
Oh, you can't hear me?
No. There you go. That's better.
David's going to hate this. Sorry.
Yeah.
David. It's all good. So I'm holding my dumbbells here. I actually personally do a incline dumbbell press differently than I do a shoulder press. Because with a shoulder press, what you want to do is you want to use a little bit of almost like a calf raise momentum to kick the dumbbell up. With a shoulder press, I'm doing one arm at a time. Boom, boom.
Mm, yep, yep.
Right? So you're using almost like a...
Boom, boom.
Like a, you're exploding your leg with a little calf raise to get momentum.
Explosive calf raise.
As you curl it up and to get it in position, with an incline dumbbell press, I'm doing both at the same time. Kind of lean forward a little bit, start to lean back, pop them both up with the explosive calf raise, and then you end up in the bottom of your incline bench, press them up, and then you want to get your shoulder blades depressed, get them feeling good, get them in position here, get set, take your deep breath, and then you do your first rep. And then getting them out of position is the same thing. So you finish, you're here, and then, well, I actually... We'll bring my legs up and I'll bring my legs up and go dumbbells to legs.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Some people will come to the bottom position. And if you're going very heavy and there's no one around you, so there's no risk of like hurting someone else, then you can finish at the bottom of the move and kind of drop them to the side. But if you can, it's much better etiquette to, you know, get them back to your legs and then you can stand up and rack them, or you can just set them down on the ground if you're going to use them again.
That's a big pet peeve of mine in a busy gym when someone just like throws the dumbbells
chucks
down
them
to the side.
Same.
It's like, are you stupid? Like, yeah. It's going to roll and hurt someone. Or like, I've seen people do it with someone literally right next to them. Like, you're an idiot.
It could land on someone.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Easily. Yeah. So that was good. If you're not watching the pods on YouTube and you need to know how to do that, Mike just gave a great demo. And do you do the same flat and incline? It's like the same thing, pop, pop, simultaneously?
There's so much muscle memory that now I'm trying to think if it's different on...
Flat.
Like a 45-degree incline versus a 20-degree incline versus flat. I know for a fact that on my last rep of a flat, I'll bring my knees up and then I'll sit up and go dumbbells to legs at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if I do that on a high incline and if like a 12 rep weight is different than, you know, I can't really think of any instances where you would be incline dumbbell pressing for less than 4 reps or 5 reps, right?
Yeah, you're not doing not like a dumbbell.
Right. But just because the ratio of difficulty to get the equipment mm-hmm. into position compared to the move, like a barbell incline makes much more sense if you're doing a double or triple or flat barbell bench. It makes more sense than flat dumbbell bench.
Yeah. If it's like an 8+ repetition range dumbbell, I'm not as serious about the setup, but if it's like a 4 to 6 rep range, like super heavy, that's when I get a little bit more serious, more controlled. And my goal is to try and bring the dumbbells up to the top as quickly as possible. Like, once I'm down and flat up, dumbbells have to come up. And I don't count that as my first rep. That's just
correct.
Like the starting point is the top. So like that for me is like my ultimate goal, whether I do one leg at a time, whatever it is, I like get to my back and immediately use momentum to get the dumbbells up to the top. And then I initiate that first rep from the top. Whereas if it's a 8, 10, 12 rep plus thing, it's not as heavy. So it's not as serious.
Yeah. Good question. Good explanation.
Someone always seems to ask me this, and it's not always even the same person. I think, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? I feel like this should be a no-brainer.
I don't think it's a no-brainer. This is a
it's
very
absolutely
common
no-brainer.
Question. It wouldn't be this common of a question if it was a no-brainer, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of people have no brains.
Big does a duck get? Is it no weapons?
No weapons. Hand-to-hand combat. Hand-to-beak. Hand-to-hoof.
I would fight the giant duck.
Correct. That's the right answer. That is the no-brainer answer.
I don't think it's a no-brainer.
Duck-sized horses? Are you like, that's just, it's too many. You'll be overwhelmed. They can kick you with their hoofs. It's just, that's a no-brainer. You can do a one horse-sized duck. I mean, the duck is relatively uncoordinated. There's like, you get behind it, it can't really do anything. It can't, like, you're good with one horse-sized duck. It might be a little bit challenging, but it's way more challenging to have 100 duck-sized horses. That's a lot of fuck. And people, like, most people don't have the conditioning for 100 duck-sized horses.
That's true.
Good luck.
Plus, how are you taking them out? Yeah.
Like, those little buggers are fast. Yeah, good luck.
You just get on that giant duck and choke it out.
Yeah, 100%.
This is wild because I had a dream last night that I was wrestling a panda bear and it was unbelievably strong.
Stop.
I'm dead serious.
You had a dream that you were wrestling a panda bear?
Yeah.
I would love to know, like, let me Google this. What does that mean? Does it mean if I had a dream that I was wrestling a panda bear? Let's see what the sages teach us. Dreams have a way of using symbol. Hold on. What do pandas represent in dreams? A panda in your dream represents peace, harmony, and balance. So maybe you're fighting
for peace, harmony, and balance.
Or maybe you're fighting against it.
I'm fighting for it. I'm literally about to throw my cell phone in the garbage and buy a Nokia block and live outside.
To dream of being attacked by a bear is an expression of rage or anger. Your anger. This anger is usually associated with a sense of victimization or personal violation by another.
That's not
perhaps
it.
Perhaps you're trapped in an abusive relationship, Michael.
That's not it. Funny, but no.
No. And no, the reason I'm laughing is because it's just so not accurate at all to you in the least. No. In your dreams,
the original definition makes sense.
If you dream of killing a panda, this suggests that your fiercest enemy will experience a loss. You will have a good time with family if you dream of chasing a panda. It means you are strong and courageous.
No, I was in guard and I was holding the panda's arms so that it couldn't swing on me. And I was like, man, this thing is strong.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
I love that.
I was more trying to neutralize the panda than hurt the panda.
Do you know how this came about? Did you just drop into a dream in which you were automatically wrestling a panda? Like, how did what happened?
Dreams are so weird that when I hear other people talk about their dreams, I just want them to stop and talk about something else. So I feel like that's the same thing that's going on here. But I'll appease you for like 30 seconds of this. I got out of the car in my dream and went over to the passenger side. And then a panda was trying to get in the driver's side and like take the car. So I ran around to like get the panda out of there. And then we were grappling. And then next thing I know, I'm in guard and I'm like holding its limbs, its arms, and just thinking, man, this panda's strong.
Dude, this is better. It just gets better and better. You were getting carjacked by a panda.
I don't think he was going to steal it. I think he just needed a place
to. Wanted to get in.
I think he just wanted to hang out.
Hey, get out of the car. And then you're just in guard.
No.
Trying to.
No, he didn't tell me to get out. I got out because I had to do something.
Him.
And he just. Well, yeah, I wasn't just going to let this panda sit in the driver's seat of a running car.
Was anybody else in the car?
I feel like my wife was around. Yeah.
Were you near your house?
I don't know. And that's enough. We can move on now.
Man, that's got to be the title of this podcast. Mike got carjacked by a panda.
I don't think that's the title.
I think that you'd be surprised at how interested people would be in this content.
Oh, I got something very random that somewhat relates to nutrition.
Okay.
So people hate on Starbucks coffee because it doesn't taste that good.
Okay.
Yeah, like Starbucks coffee isn't good coffee. They burn their coffee, which I don't know that I necessarily love the taste of any coffee. I drink it for its benefit. But for some reason, I really don't like Dunkin' Donuts. Like, haven't had great experience with Dunkin' Coffee. And I know it's an unpopular opinion. I know people really like it. And I've gotten their iced coffee a couple of times, and it never tastes that good. I don't know if Starbucks just has better syrups, and I like the syrups there. Anyway, coming back from San Jose, early morning flight, and Dunkin' was the only place open. So I go there, order an iced coffee, and you know, it's literally 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to be eating anything. I don't want any calories. So I say, do you have sugar-free vanilla syrup? The guy's like, yeah, we do. It's like, amazing. Could I do a medium iced coffee with sugar-free vanilla syrup and one Splenda, please? And it's like, great. Thank you. Take it. Start walking. Take a sip. Unbelievably sweet.
You can tell it didn't use.
Yeah, could tell it wasn't sugar-free, which, you know, they're busy. It's a mistake, whatever. But I think this has happened all three times I've ever gotten coffee from Dunkin'. So I don't know. There's a reason I don't go there. And I look and it says Splenda. And then underneath it, it says vanilla bean. But there was no SF. There was no sugar-free. Mm. So I assume it was just regular. There's no real point to this other than I had a few sips of it and then just got coffee from the flight attendant once I was on my plane and drank that because I didn't want to drink 7 grams of sugar and with nothing else at 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, I don't know. Curious how other people handle those situations. I don't know if I'm more neurotic than most. I'm sure a lot of people would just drink it anyway.
I would have went back and be like, hey, bro, like, did you do sugar-free? Because you wrote vanilla bean on this.
Well,
I would have been nice about it. I wouldn't be a dick. I'd be like, hey, excuse me. Hey, like, bro. Hey, bro, remember when I asked for sugar-free? No, but like, I'd be like, hey, man, just out of curiosity, did you happen to use sugar-free? Because it tastes super sweet and it says vanilla bean. And he would be like, oh, fuck, I'm sorry. Let me do that over for you.
Yeah. So as soon as I grabbed the coffee, Gary called. And so I was coaching Gary virtually as I was walking to my gate. And it was.
And I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't interrupt the Gary call for that.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
It's not even like a level of, oh, I don't want these 200 or 250 calories. I wasn't planning on having any food until 10 a.m. And I know how this is going to make me feel differently than 200 milligrams of caffeine with no sugar with it or 200 milligrams of caffeine with 60 grams of sugar with it. Just like, I don't want that difference in my body.
In my body also, I feel like there's a strong nocebo that'll happen with that, where it's just like, as soon as I taste how sweet that is, I'm just like, this is fucking dessert. Like, I have to be in the right mindset to have dessert. And like, I don't want dessert at early in the morning. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's going to ruin my day. It's just like, I don't want that. Like, when I have dessert, I want to actively choose to have dessert and not at 5 in the fucking morning. And definitely not a coffee. Like, that's not my choice of dessert.
Right.
I will say, I think it's actually more of an unpopular opinion to really like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And I prefer Dunkin' Donuts coffee over Starbucks. And I think it's just because that's what I was brought up with. Growing up in Boston, like, Dunkin' Donuts is everywhere. And like, that's what I was brought up with. And it's funny, I had a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee last night before my flight. And I hadn't had a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee I think maybe years. And I was just like, this is so good. Like, I love just like, and I got like the hazelnut iced coffee. It's what I used to get in high school every day after wrestling practice. It was just like, just real nostalgia. Super good.
Yeah. Nostalgia is powerful.
Yeah, it is. Super powerful.
The thing about Starbucks is they're unbelievably consistent. Like, you can order ahead on the app and I can't remember the last time that they made a mistake with a drink order. And that level of consistency is appreciated.
Starbucks food is legit. The egg white bites that they have at Starbucks are awesome. And by the way, I didn't know they had it, but now they have egg white bites at Dunkin'. I don't know which one came first. I think Dunkin' probably copied. But like, I got the egg white bites yesterday at the airport as well. And like, bro, they were legit. They were very good. But Starbucks egg white bites are amazing. Their feta wrap is, the spinach feta is so good. And also like the reduced fat turkey bacon sandwiches, like those three are like amazing.
They're all tasty with solid macros. They're all good on the go fat loss food options, or even just like on the go food options if you're trying to eat something reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah, they're super good. It's funny. My daughter loves the Starbucks egg bites. And so now, like, whenever we go buy a Starbucks, she knows the Starbucks logo. Mm-hmm. As soon as we go buy it, she starts going, egg, egg, because that's where we get the egg bites. And, like, it's so you can't see a Starbucks logo without her, like, pointing, going, egg, egg. And she immediately wants to go get it. They're awesome. So good.
You know who else loves Dunkin'?
Your wife?
Nope. You know who absolutely loves Dunkin' Donuts?
Gary?
Yeah, Gary does like Dunkin', but no. Like, it's their thing.
Dunkin' is their thing?
Yeah.
Do I know this person?
Uh-huh.
Am I going to be like, oh, I should have known that as soon as you said it?
No.
Ty?
You're going to be like, I don't like Dunkin' anymore.
Oh, no. Are you going to say their name on the pod or no?
Yeah, we'll bleep it out.
Oh, we'll bleep it out?
Yeah. I'm not going to.
Oh, no. I know.
Say it.
I know.
Say it.
Well, you say it because I don't want to have an accident where it's not actually bleeped out.
There's not going to be an accident. Say the name.
Is the first letter of the name?
No.
Oh, okay. Bleep that letter out.
Wait, who is that? No.
Oh, really? That's his thing?
Yeah.
I mean, that just makes sense because it's so good, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that interesting. I didn't realize that was his thing. Yeah, David, you got to make sure you bleep all that out.
Yeah, any names right there.
Also, blur the mouth. People are crazy nowadays.
Oh, David knows.
They're like, oh, okay, cool.
David's a professional.
Man, interesting. So he talks about that a lot?
Yeah, but people might actually be figuring this out because it's his thing and he's blown up. Like, there's investigators right now who...
They're like, all right, he's been talking about Dunkin' a lot.
Like, I didn't know Jordan and Bleep had a feud.
I think the feud is only known one way. Because he's spoken about me recently as though we're fucking friends.
In his content,
he spoke about me. I'm like, dude, why would you say that? You acted like we've been friends for years and we haven't.
You have more of, like, the Michael Jordan, like... stubbornness to you than I think you know that you have.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I just didn't like that he brought me up in a positive light when we have never had a positive interaction ever.
But I think he thinks you had a... I can't believe this is all on the podcast. This is completely insane. I don't know if we should be cutting some of this, but I think he thinks that you guys had a positive interaction and you maybe had like one experience at one time when you were like, screw that guy. Like,
no, I think that he saw an opportunity to use my name in that one situation to potentially bolster his image. When we did have interactions, I didn't have, he didn't see any value in me because I didn't have an audience at that time. So he felt okay being a dick to me. But now because there's a potential opportunity for him to fucking like be associated with that name, he like makes it up. And we can keep this on the podcast. That's fine. But we'll bleep his name out. I don't want to call him out.
I think that you have a better understanding of the situation than I do.
I just don't like when people treat someone differently because they have an audience versus not. You know, and that's clearly what was going on there.
Yeah, that's not a good look in general.
But he's got good taste in Dunkin', so respect on that front.
Are you fully committed to this lifestyle?
Dude, I'm fully committed. I'm in. So what, it has to be 4 to 6 hours a day outside?
I just feel so much better being outside more. I sleep better at night. Everything about me is better.
What do you do when you're out there?
That's a great question.
Like you specifically, you personally.
But I don't.
What have you been doing?
I mean, I don't go outside enough. That's why I want to do this. Oh, it's just at times when it happens, I feel so good.
Are you going to start doing hill sprints on that huge hill that you sent me a picture of?
Well, that I found this amazing nature trail not too far from my house that I'm ecstatic about. Kind of goes along a river. So I'm definitely going to spend some time there. But I don't know. You almost have to, like, I almost want to build an outdoor gym in my backyard and work out out there but you can only do that for half the year. It still might be worth it though.
Dude, you should absolutely do that, but you could also build like a, you could build like an outdoor gym, but have a cover on top. Like, would, or you want it to just be outside, like Venice Beach type, like a gym where there's no cover, no nothing.
I mean, you could put stuff underneath the deck. Like there'd be, I would have to do something to protect against the elements and it wouldn't be outside year round, but I'm speaking more in hypotheticals here and not practical. And maybe I should be speaking more practically because I don't know.
I thought
there are only so many things to do, but I just know that on times where I end up outside, and whether that means playing basketball outside, playing football outside, like as a kid playing outside, even going to the Minnesota State Fair, you end up walking around, taking 15,000 steps, being outside for 6, 7, 8 hours. Like, there's something about how you feel at the end of the day when you had sun on your skin, you got movement in, you were breathing more fresh air, you weren't looking at screens, you weren't under fluorescent lights, you weren't like your the average distance of what you were looking at wasn't like, you know, 1 foot to like 8 feet away from your face, but rather 20, 30, 50 feet away. All of these things make you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's that many combinations, but being outside, walking around, moving, you're also not head down, stuck in doom scrolling. And like that combination is just super powerful for sure.
Yeah, but then even there's levels, right? So let's say you're not doing any doom scrolling, but you're just inside all day. Even if you're moving around inside, you still feel worse than if you were doing the same things, but outside.
Yeah, for
sure. But the way that, like, you know, you need to make money, you need to work, you need to, so there's a balance, right? There's a balance between these things.
Yeah, dude, like you're preaching. I think that you should build the outdoor gym.
Might have to build an outdoor gym. I'm really
get a squat rack and just keep it outside. And even if it's raining, just like get the barbell out there. You know who Ross Enamite is?
I don't know if I know that name.
Man, I followed this guy back in like maybe 2014, 2015. And I think he like just recently started posting again after years off.
What a legend.
Dude, this guy, Ross, I think Ross Training on Instagram. Man, this guy posted, I think he just recently started posting again after years off. This guy is an absolute savage. And like, he has videos of himself, like he goes in the woods and works out in the woods, but like it's not just on a nice weather day. Like he goes out in the woods in the, like here, look, he has a chin-up bar in between two trees when it's snowing outside, and he's just like doing chin-ups in the snow. Then he gets down, he starts doing push-ups. Like this guy's
living right.
Yeah,
this guy figured it out.
Yeah, I just, if you scroll down on his page, he does all the right stuff. Like, this is what I'm imagining you doing. And even like this, like he's out here and he's doing like super heavy carries outside. I don't know if you can see that, but like, and this one's, yeah, this is just like, he has all of these videos doing this stuff and I absolutely love it. And I feel like this is what you should do. Yeah, look, he's like a picture of himself picking up a huge tree stump out in the snow. He's just, I don't know. That makes me think of what you're talking about. And I completely agree.
That's a great example. I'm following this guy.
Yeah. Really cool, dude.
So that I can doom scroll and look at his content while I sit inside.
Let's do it. Let's get, do you have two trees close enough together where you could put a chin-up bar on it? Drill it in there?
No, not on my property.
Do you have any trees with branches on it that you could do chin-ups on?
I'll have to do an assessment after this.
Or like a porch like Susan would do. Susan used to do chin-ups on her porch outside when we first started training.
I love that. That's very smart, Susan.
In the snow, actually. She did it during a snowstorm outside, like a blizzard.
That's
like Susan.
I got a lot of respect for that kind of action.
Dude, what's up? Someone goes, I just saw a video that oatmeal is not good for you from a cardiologist. What are your thoughts? And it's just fucking infuriating, these social media doctors putting out stupid content like that for likes and clicks.
it's funny. I always want to give the person the benefit of the doubt and be like, this can't, they can't actually be saying this. This has to be being twisted in some way.
Unfortunately, they do it.
Unfortunately, there's actually a cardiologist who thinks that under no circumstances should you be eating oatmeal, because oatmeal in and of itself is bad for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the reason it's bad for you?
Yeah, that's usually what people are saying.
So they think you shouldn't eat any carbs.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, a lot of these doctors who have never been trained in nutrition are being duped by people on social media who are being very reductionist in their views and saying, oh, well, look, here's this one singular physiological response, which must mean that it's bad. And so doctors are not trained in nutrition. Like, it's not, so they're just as easily duped, maybe even more easily duped, because they have a science background. So they see someone else talking as though they understand the science, and they just automatically trust them. It's funny, doctors who are not trained in nutrition might be more easily duped than someone who has no knowledge whatsoever, because it's easy to convince them they have a science background.
Yeah, but just because of this appeal to authority, like,
yeah, they see the other person referencing blood sugar and glucose, and they have it, you know.
But you went to that many years of med school, wouldn't you at least be like, okay, there's science backing it. What kind of science? Like,
you'd hope.
Are there human outcomes? Is this one random like mechanistic study? Like, what is the science that is? You would hope.
You'd also hope they use common sense to say, well.
Which makes me think, is this like a one-off of this person being disingenuous, or not even disingenuous, being unethical to get more attention to make money? Or is this like someone who went to a lot of school and is actually kind of an idiot?
I think it's probably more of the latter.
Really?
Yeah, and because I've seen it numerous times from numerous doctors. And there are other doctors who call them out on it and say, you're an idiot. Like, why are you doing this? Like, you don't understand this. But like, I think that these doctors are just getting duped and believing shit that they're seeing on social media.
Would you argue that that might be more common for people with smaller audiences? But when I see, maybe the doctors that I see are the ones with bigger, the doctors with horrendously dangerous positions, I would call it, are the ones with bigger audiences, the ones that I'm seeing at least, like, and we can bleep this out or not, that guy, like, that guy clearly doesn't believe what he's saying.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't know what I hope, actually. I don't know if I hope that he doesn't believe it, or if I guess I hope that he does believe it, because at least then he would be doing it with good intent. Whereas if he actually doesn't believe it, then like, that's just real evil, right? If he truly doesn't believe it and he's still saying the shit that he's saying, just from like a reputation perspective, money perspective, like, that's real evil. Whereas if he truly believes it, then at least it's coming from a place of good intent. But I mean, if he also truly believes it, then it's also just stupid. So like, I don't know what would be better at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know. I don't know anyone who's gotten unhealthy from eating oatmeal.
Or an apple. Like, some of the things that people say, this is the kind of stuff that makes me not want to be on the internet.
Correct. It's just, yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. And then there's like, well, then is there a duty to combat this bad information? And there probably is to some degree, but like, what level of sacrifice do you make in doing that?
Like, for your own health?
Yeah. Do you spend do you dig into the depths of your pain and anger and spend all of your time combating bad science on the internet at the expense of your own well-being?
I feel like that's like, you know, Lane Norton is making that sacrifice.
Yeah.
Lane exactly. Norton is just digging into the depths and just fucking battling for the world.
Just going to war constantly.
Yeah, every day.
But like, and there's nobility in that. Absolutely.
Correct. Yeah. Lane is just really bearing the load for all of us.
Yeah.
Right now.
And maybe that's the right thing to do. Maybe I shouldn't be doing pull-ups outside like that Ross guy. Maybe I should be making content.
I don't know.
Pontificating here on the How to Become a Personal Trainer podcast. Here's what we do know. If you can eat oatmeal and you can eat apples, and you're not going to die as a result.
Not only are you not going to die, you're probably going to get healthier for eating it. especially relative to what else you could be eating.
I just hate the discussion around single foods making you healthier or less healthy. It's like, it's completely unproductive. It's so like top line. You can do so much clickbait with it, but it's so, it doesn't actually inform you to what's going on.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, is oatmeal good or bad? I don't know. What else are you eating? How much oatmeal are you eating? What are you putting in your oatmeal? What does your day-to-day look like? Exactly. How much are you sleeping? How stressed are you? Like, there's so many factors to just be like, X food is bad. Fructose.
I actually just saw a news story and it's sad. I want to be very clear. I'm not happy about this, but I said years ago that the health at every size movement and like the body positivity movement at the extreme end of it, where they're glorifying obesity and saying that there is not like nothing wrong with it, that it was going to lead to real negative effects and people getting sick and potentially dying. And four people now who are at the extreme end of like the health at every size movement, who are also severely overweight, have recently died at a very, very young age, which is like super sad and a huge tragedy. And I think like already we're starting to see the negative effects of that movement of people who are duped into think, who are being told on social media that there's nothing wrong with excess levels of adiposity. And it's just easy for people to get duped nowadays, and it's infuriating.
It's very, very sad. Yeah, for those individuals and their families.
And this is, I think, what we're going to see with carnivore.
And I want to disconnect what I'm saying from the story you just told, because I don't want it to come off as insensitive. But you said it's easy to get duped. I don't know that people are duped. Like when someone says that you can weigh 500 pounds or you can weigh 170 pounds and there's no difference on your health, and you choose to believe that you can weigh 500 pounds and there's no difference in your health, I don't know if you're getting duped or if you're duping yourself.
It's a mixture of both. And like, yeah, there's a lack of personal responsibility, but there's also, I don't think that they would have as easily, they probably wouldn't have thought that if someone didn't confirm it for them and someone didn't say like, hey, like this is okay. And then they bring up studies and they bring up research and they like manipulate stuff and they lie about it to make them further dive in and believe and justify their lack of behavior change. I think it's definitely a little bit of both.
And here's good news, similar to like the loud minority that spends time on the internet. I don't know that I've ever met anyone in person in my entire life that genuinely believes what the health at every size movement says.
Yeah.
It's like a
fringe.
Yeah. Very, very fringe.
Yeah. I think they're spending most of their time inside, not actually getting out and speaking with real people.
Yeah. Yeah. Highly likely.
You want to tell them about the sale coming up?
Dude. We have a sale coming up. Why don't you tell them about the sale coming up?
All right, I'll tell them. We got a sale coming up, all right?
I can't sell, all right?
Oh, yes, you can.
I can't.
Yes, you can. Give it a shot. Let them know. Let them hear it. You tell them about it.
We have a sale coming up for the fitness business mentorship. We don't do sales very often. The last time we did a sale was 9 months ago. There's going to be... We haven't fully confirmed, but there's going to be a large discount, hundreds of dollars, if you are interested in starting an online fitness business, growing your online fitness business, having a community to help you support this, having Jordan and I lead the way in telling you what you should do to build your online fitness business, because you want to help more people, because you want to reach more people, because you want to work a more fulfilling job, then consider signing up for the fitness business mentorship when the sale launches. Don't sign up quite yet. Well, you can, but in the next couple of weeks, we'll be announcing the sale. We are going to email the list. So if you're not on our email list, you can sign up in the show notes right now, and we'll be announcing it here on the podcast. And so if you're interested in joining the fitness business mentorship, sale coming up soon, and we will let you know exactly when that's happening.
Dude, that was an unbelievable pitch. That was incredible.
All right, Dale. All right, don't Dale me, Dale.
That was incredible. All right, Dale. But listen, like, it's funny.
That was incredible, but I'm actually going to give my own now.
No, I'll just like reiterate because it's just funny. Like I didn't realize it's been so long since we've done a sale because like we're just really enjoying where the mentorship is right now. And we're seeing people make incredible progress and coaches just doing amazing things, working with people from all over the world, building their businesses and really enjoying the process of becoming a better coach, which is very fun. I think one of the best parts about where the mentorship is right now, like we don't have people in there who are like, I'm a high ticket coach and like no one's doing shady bullshit. It's about actually becoming a great coach, being part of a great community of coaches who truly want to help their clients and be better people and also provide for their family and set themselves up financially in a comfortable and enjoyable way as well. So I didn't realize we hadn't done a sale in so long. So, and this happens every time. Every time, whether I do a sale, we do it for the mentorship or inner circle. People are like, oh yeah, I'll wait, I'll wait, I'll wait. And then when the sale is over, they're like, oh wait, did I miss the sale? Listen, the sale, we don't do sales very often. And so listen, we've almost not done one for almost a year now. So I don't know when the next one's going to be. And by the time you do the next one, just so you know, the price will be raised again. So if you want to join then, what you could join for now, you won't be able to join for it the next time we do a sale. So this will be the lowest you could probably ever join for this sale. Make sure you get on the email list. If you want, what do you think? Like if they apply, because if they go to the website now, they can apply, but then should we say like, we'll just send out an email when the sale goes so they could wait to join, or should we just wait to apply until the sale goes live? What do you think?
I would wait to apply until the sale goes live.
Okay. So just wait until the sale goes live. Get on the email list so you know when it happens. And seriously, don't be the person who's like, oh, like they wait and wait and wait and wait, and then the sale's over and then you miss out. When the sale goes live, just do it immediately. And what I would do when I was younger and I was trying to get in on courses and stuff is I would set my calendar. I'd put it in my calendar. So like it goes live on this day at this time because they gave me notice and I would join immediately. I wouldn't wait for the last day and then miss out on it. Put it in your date and calendar and get on the email list so you know when it's time to sign up. This is going to be the lowest you can ever join the mentorship for. And we say that literally every single sale because after every single sale, we raise the price. So just make sure you know that's what's going on. Don't wait out on it. If you join, we'll be very happy to have you. To everyone who's already in the mentorship, we fucking love you. You make our lives infinitely better. And yeah, we hope to see you in there.
Have a great week. Let's get after it. We'll be back next Tuesday. See you soon.